Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world. But to welcome to this program four exciting, talented, humorous individuals who are going to show their skill with words, their verbal dexterity and ingenuity as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Josie Lawrence and Jack D. Would you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. Seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre and Broadcasting House in Portland Place, West 1. We'll get straight on with the show. And Jack, you haven't played it so often, but now we're going to ask you to begin the programme. And the subject we've got here for you is, what gets my back up? What gets my back up, Jack? 60 seconds, starting now.
I'm a very easygoing kind of guy. But one of the things that really gets my back up is when people don't apologise when they've clearly done something very badly wrong. I bought a television just before last Christmas, and when I switched it on, I found that the picture was upside down. Well, I rang the shop and explained the problem, and they said to me that that doesn't sound right. I said, no, it actually does sound right, it just doesn't look right.
Josie challenge.
It's two rights, I'm afraid.
And two sounds, yes. Mm. But well, listen, Josie, but yeah. It was a good story.
It was a good story.
It was true as well.
Was it an Australian TV?
Yeah.
Josie.
What is it?
I'm going to tell you in a moment, darling. It's what gets my back up. But you have a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject, and there are 34 seconds. What gets my back up starting now?
What gets my back up in the morning is my spine. Without it, I'd be all floppy. What really gets my back up is people with no senses of humour. People who are cynical. I just...
Jack, challenge.
People.
Yes.
Yes, there's two people, sir.
Repeating people.
That's right. Well, listen, Jack, you have the subject back with you. 23 seconds available. What gets my back up starting now?
What gets my back up is people who...
Paul, challenge.
You had people before, I think.
Yes, you said.
Did I say it before?
Yes, you did.
Fair enough,
then. When you were talking before.
No, it's correct challenge.
Trouble is that once you've said it before, even if you come back in, you can't repeat
that
the word
constitutes
again.
That constitutes a repetition, I see. Yes, thank you.
Paul, you've got in the 20... 20 seconds on what gets my back up, starting now.
Osteopathy.
Clement, you challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
And he didn't mention people.
But he... No, he deliberately paused to get the laugh. It was such a good run, I'm going to give him a bonus point for that. But you get a point for a correct challenge, you get the subject, and you have 18 seconds on what gets my back up starting now.
The concept that there are particular things that cause this or that to one's body is not a subscription I would adhere to. That's a pretty clumsy sentence, if I ever heard one. What gets my...
challenge.
Well, that's become a deviation, hasn't it?
I think it's deviation from English as we understand it.
I thought it was rigorous self-analysis.
I think he was almost admitting it himself. So, Jack, benefit of the doubt, and 5 seconds still available. What gets my back up starting now?
There are very few things that really annoy me to the extent...
And... And what's the situation at the end of the round? Well, Jack is now in the lead. Josie, you're training them all a little.
I know.
But here's a subject which is close to your heart, because I know you've been there. Yes, I know you've been there. This is why we put it in for you. Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh.
You've climbed it, haven't you?
Yes, and I could have said that and made us up some time up, couldn't I?
No, you can repeat it, darling.
All right,
I
then.
Have said it. You can say it, repeat it, that. You can say that, right. Ready? 60
yes.
seconds. Mount Kilimanjaro, starting now.
Mount Kilimanjaro is the highest freestanding mountain in Africa. Tanzania, in fact. I know because I climbed to the very top of it. 5,895 metres. That's 19,000 feet. I've just said...
Jack challenged.
It was a repetition of 5. Oh, yeah, the gloves are off.
I'm afraid five did come in twice in your description.
I wondered what a freestanding mountain was.
Some of them are leaning against the wall.
You know,
yes.
Some
of them are leaning against
things. Sometimes, you know, you get fitted mountains.
Oh, yes.
You get these bridges of mountains. Casual. Look, I did it and it nearly bloody killed me, so don't take the make right.
You'll get back in again, darling. Don't help my...
That's what
right,
they always
so,
say.
You have 46 seconds on Mount Kilimanjaro, starting now.
I believe I'm right in saying that Mount Kilimanjaro was originally a volcano, and that therefore it's...
Paul,
hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Complete hesitation.
Yes. Tell us something about Mount Kilimanjaro, Paul, in 39 seconds, starting now.
When I was unemployed, I climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro, and what a fantastic place it was. Full of people on housing benefit. You climb to the top...
Jules, your challenge.
No, he climbed twice.
He climbed only climbed twice. It was impossible what he did.
Yes.
So you have 31 seconds on Mount Kilimanjaro, starting now.
The worst thing about it is altitude sickness. You get to the volcanic area and you start to...
Clement, challenge.
She said it was volcanic before.
Volcanic. I didn't, he did.
No, Jack.
No, Jack said volcanic. Mm. He said it was a volcanic.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
No, I didn't.
That's
it was Joseph.
No, you lie.
No, he said it was originally a volcano. She's not mentioned the word before.
Yeah, no.
And certainly not volcanic. Nah. The other one was a volcano. 24 seconds. Another point to you, Josie. Really? And we're still with you on Mount Kilimanjaro, starting now.
On the fourth day, I blew my nose and there was blood on the tissue. I felt terrible. My heart was beating. My head was aching, and the day of the ascent was the worst. We started at 10 o'clock at night in the darkness, put our head torches on, and began to walk up to Stella Point. But for every step up, you slide to...
Oh, I wanted to hear the rest.
Did you?
It's a booklet.
I was absolutely in the story, but you've challenged...
Well, mine is pretty interesting as well. Repetition of up.
I know, but I was with her. I was going up and up, and I wanted to go right to the top with you there.
Just, you see, it was affecting your breathing, wasn't it? It was affecting your breathing.
Yes, I was getting a bit breathless.
Yeah.
Yes,
I
was.
You can tell that.
Hypertension, what's it called?
Hyper supermarket.
No.
Hyperventilating.
That's right, yes. Clement, you have a correct challenge. You play by the rules of just a minute, and you have 4 seconds on Mount Kilimanjaro, starting now.
Oddly enough, you can get very good telephone reception at the...
So, Clement Freud was in...
It's true.
Yes, I phoned.
You can mobile phone from the top.
I phoned and I was crying.
It was you.
Yeah, I phoned you.
Clement was speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained that extra point. He's now in second place behind Jack D and just ahead of Paul Merton and Josie Lawrence. And, Jack, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is quite topical. You can take it many different ways, though. The crunch. Tell us something about the crunch, starting now.
The crunch is the nickname given to our common...
Josie Chan.
Where do I begin?
The sense of ennui from the audience. I feel I've so disappointed people. When I get it wrong, don't go, oh. It's hard enough without feeling I've ruined your evening, all right? I got it wrong.
Josie, you got it right. You got the first challenge in, and you have 55 seconds. The crunch starting now.
I love the feel of the crunch in your mouth. I like crunchy things, not soft, floppy things. Remember Nut Cracknell that you used a little hammer with to hammer it out? Oh.
Full challenge.
Repetition of hammer.
Hammer, yes, it's but true. It's hammer it out. This is two hammers, that's right,
yes.
45 seconds, the crunch is with you, Paul, starting now.
If we look at the crunch, we take our mind back perhaps to 1929 and the beginning of the Great Crash. Then it was called a depression. Now we have to find other words which don't sound quite so depressing. We call it a credit crunch, or we say, as we used to do in the 1960s, there's a financial squeeze. But of course, we all realise now that this is why we're here in the radio theatre watching Just a Minute, because it's free. To come in. We don't really care who are those people on stage. I wish to shut up and then turn the heating up. That'd be a boon, wouldn't it? I've come all the way from Chipping Norton to be here tonight. That's what we like about the British spirit. We will survive the crunch. We will look it in the eye and we say, you will never...
Clement, it sounds.
That's 14 wheeze.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm incontinent.
We were in...
Yeah.
weren't enjoying it so much. Occasionally we let someone go on this flight of fantasy.
Yeah, I wanted him to go on for a bit, because he leaves less time.
You want to get another point, which you've got, and you've got 7 seconds on the crunch starting now.
I too, like Josie, had crunchy bars when I was at school, which I preferred to Mars, Milky Way.
Clement again speaking as a whistle wind gain the extra point and increase his lead. And it's also, Clement, your turn to begin. And the subject now, Eros. Tell us something about Eros in this game starting now.
Love, lust, intercourse, a statue in Piccadilly Circus, Aphrodite.
All challenged.
The hesitation.
The definite hesitation.
There was like hesitation.
Right. Eros is with you, Paul. 53 seconds available, starting now.
Of course, it's sore backwards, but when we look at the statue of Eros there in the centre of Piccadilly Circus, remember that particular... Oh.
Clement Challenge.
It's not in the centre of Piccadilly Circus.
Well, how would you describe it?
The side of Piccadilly Circus.
No, it's in the centre.
No.
They go right
You haven't
round.
Been there lately.
It's been moved.
No, it's been pedestrianised, but it hasn't... Yeah. Yes, it has been moved.
It was moved.
Moved.
We still consider it to be the centre.
Trafalgar Square.
We consider it to be the centre.
I don't. It's been moved to
How
the side.
How many people would like think that Eros is in the centre of Piccadilly Circus? None of them. It's not in the centre, then. 46 seconds. Eros, with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm very pleased to talk about Eros in front of this knowledgeable audience who know where everything is anywhere. Fertility is what the son of Aphrodite, which I was going to mention, but I was interrupted by people who know nothing. He was, in fact, I'm talking about Eros, related to an awful lot of... Good challenge.
The repetition of related.
Related, yes. 21 seconds, like Paul. That. Tell us something about Eros, starting now.
Eros is 45 feet away from the Criterion Theatre because it's been moved. Back in 1968, it was in the centre of the place I mentioned earlier. But
Josie Challenge.
I said centre twice.
Well, listen, my love. You have Eros and you have 12 seconds starting now.
Eros is a very romantic place in Piccadilly. Lots of people go there and sit and spoon together. The thing about Eros is arrow is meant to be pointing at you, rather like...
Clement Paul Challenge.
Well, it's not really a place, is it? It's more of a statue.
Yes, but it's right in the centre.
No, it's not. It's moved. Look, it's not far from here. Who's got a tape measure? I don't mind.
Speaking personally, and to me, it's a place.
It's a place, and she established it was a place, and it is an area there, and it is still pedestrianised, and in the centre of that is Eros.
I agree.
Which is really what she was trying to say,
yes.
And I agree with her.
Yes.
So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say you've still got the subject, and you've got 1 second to go on Eros, starting now.
A lot of people think that...
So, Josie Lawrence was then speaking of the whistle wind, gained that extra point. She's equal in third place with Jack D. They're 1 point behind Paul Merton, and he's 3 behind Clement Freud in that order. And we move back to you, Josie, to begin. And the subject, I don't know whether this is your scene, but tell us something about it if you can. Boy bands. Oh, this is a toughie, isn't it? 60 seconds starting now.
My favourite boy band recently, although we are going back a couple of decades, was Take That. I really like that particular boy band, especially the bit...
All challenge.
I'm sorry to say, but it's repetition of that.
That, yes. You said
the first that was with 2 T's. Oh, no, it has got 2 T's, hasn't it?
Can we have 2 T's and a plate of biscuits?
Yeah. You're quite right.
Yeah. Paul, it was a correct challenge. 51 seconds. Boy bands starting now.
The concept of boy bands is nothing new. We can look back to Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons from the 1950s. In our own islands, we have the Beatles, who perhaps were the most successful of all boy bands. They started off as being a troupe of 4 individuals from Liverpool who released records.
Clement Challenge.
A bit of a hesitation.
No, he was going with great aplomb.
Oh,
in comparison with you, he was actually motoring.
You can't compare him
to
me.
No hesitation. 37 seconds. Still with you, Paul. Boy bands.
I want him to win.
boy bands is with you, Paul, starting now.
I remember back in the skiffle days, there was a wonderful group called Clement Freud and the Zephyrs, and they had washboards and bass drums, and they fantastic hits of the day. Bill Haley and the Comets had nothing on them. Boy bands have been around for years. Because, like the Monkees, they can sometimes be manufactured, or in the case of the people that I mentioned earlier, they came together because they all grew up in the same sort of area.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition is same.
Oh, yes, you did say the same group, same bands.
Yeah, oh, yes, sir.
Yes. 14 seconds. You've got in at last, Clement, on boy bands. I know this is your subject. Dying to speak on it. 14 seconds, starting now.
The French who called Boy George Bois George actually think...
Paul, Challenge.
I don't know. Is that a repetition of Boy George?
No. It's a repetition of George.
Yeah.
No.
If you're putting in the French, it should be Garçon George. What did you say, then?
Boy George and Bois George.
It was the same word, slightly differently pronounced. If you want to change your accent midway through a sentence...
That's ridiculous, but we can't play the game like that, can we, Nicholas?
No. 9 seconds for you, Paul, on boy bands, starting now.
If we look at Slade from the Black Country, they were a great boy band.
Cheers, each other.
That's not a Black Country accent.
I didn't say it was. I didn't claim it was.
Yes, no, it's true. He didn't say it was.
He didn't claim it was.
No.
But he did say a Black Country, and he was trying to convey it was. And I'm going to give you, as you know that area, and you're brought up around there, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you have a correct challenge with 5 seconds on boy bands starting now.
I don't mean to be mean, but boy bands are usually made up of two who can sing and two...
Saved by the whistle, Josie. You were just about to say two again, weren't you, my love? There, you got in, you got the point for speaking as a whistle. Went, and where are you? You're in third place, just behind Paul, just ahead of Jack, and you're all just a point or two behind Clement, who's in the lead. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is now following your nose. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
As a piece of advice, I suppose, if you want to know that you're doing the right thing in life, following your instincts, maybe that's what it means, following your nose, getting something inside your head and believing that you might be able to follow this dream. Follow your...
Clement Challenge.
You can't get your nose inside your head.
He's right, you can't.
You're absolutely right. So what is your challenge when the rules are just... Why?
It's biological.
Yes, but he wasn't talking biologically. He'd taken it as a phrase, follow your nose, which is a phrase of following your instincts. And
you can get your nose into somebody else's head. Apparently.
Oh, don't complicate it.
That's what happens in the Black
Country. I think, actually... What was that, Jack? It was worth repeating.
Can we go now, then?
No, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt, because he was speaking metaphorically and not literally about the nose and the head and wherever it was.
So metaphorically.
Not,
yes.
Not metaphorically. And so if I can redress the balance later, Clement, of course I will. 46 seconds. Follow your nose with you, Paul, starting now.
I'm reminded about the person of restricted growth who was sacked from the nudist colony for poking his nose into other people's affairs. Look now, in this day and age, we can see lots of people out in the streets of London who have followed their nose. They have come from other parts of this country, and they've realised that if they want to make a name for themselves, then to come to the capital, just like Dick Whittington did all those centuries ago, to prove their character forged in the steel of this massive city that we live in. Yes, I'm not afraid to stand up in front of you and say, I am a transsexual! I used to be a man.
Oh, that was a classic moment on Just a Minute. But Clement interrupted it. What did you challenge for, Clement?
Hesitation.
Well, that's rich, considering you paid for the operation.
He only hesitated because... When did you think he hesitated?
Well, you're almost running out of time to give me the benefit of the doubt.
You're quite right, Clement. And I think after having said transsexual, he did hesitate, actually. So I think we give Paul a bonus point for his contribution. Clement was right. He gets the benefit of the doubt. He has a point for a correct challenge. 11 seconds. At last you got in there on following your nose, Clement, starting now.
Following my nose is not at all difficult because it is lengthy and points in a particular direction, unlike many people's noses that are all over.
So Clement Freud speaks of Whistle Wayne Gain, that extra point. He's still one ahead of Paul Merton in that order, and then Josie Lawrence and Jack D. And Jack, we're back with you to begin. The subject is love at first sight. What a terrible expression to make of the thought of that subject. Anyway, it is a difficult one to talk on. 60 seconds, starting now.
Love at first sight is something that most people hold out huge hope for most of their lives, thinking that one day they'll meet someone and bingo, they will be stone in love with them, and that'll be that for the rest of their life. But it doesn't often happen like that. I've been happy. Oh.
Josie Challenge.
Oh, he stumbled because...
Yes.
I was remembering...
Find your lovely wife.
Yeah.
But it was a hesitation.
Yeah, it was a hesitation. Right. Get rid of him.
Josie, you have love at first sight. You have 43 seconds starting now.
Some people say it's lust at first sight, but I do truly believe in love at first sight, although unfortunately for me, it's always been unrequited. I saw a bloke a couple of years ago. He walked into the club and looked at me. I looked at him and smiled, but then I realised that he didn't think of me the way I thought of him because he was with another woman. And so I walked up to the bar and said, "Who is that man over there?" My heart was racing. I was sweating. I was falling in love with him. I went up to him and said, "Excuse me, would you get rid of that lady that you're with and come with me?" And he said, "No, go away, you ugly little horse raider." He called me up. I don't know where horse raider came from. What is a horse raider?
That's what happens in just a minute. Things come out from nowhere. I mean, we have a transsexual over there, a horse raider on my left.
A horse raider.
My goodness me. So what?
Could it have been because you were sweaty?
Yes, I was sweaty. Some men like sweaty.
Could I make a suggestion? Could it have been because you were watching the film which was reissued on television just recently called The Horse Whisperer?
I did.
There you are, you see. It was a connection, an unconscious connection.
Yes.
So why didn't you say horse whisperer?
Because the day before I'd watched Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right, Paul, your challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, right. So you have 3 seconds.
I'll try to make them as short as I can.
Those are the rules of the game. Love at first sight, Paul, starting now.
There she was, Eileen Jacobs, standing!
Thank you. So, Paul Merton was speaking as a Whistle Wayne, gained that extra point. He's now gone one ahead of Clement Freud and closely followed by Josie Lawrence and Jack D. And we're moving into the final round. Oh. I would like to know who this... what's her name, Jacobs?
Eileen Jacobs.
Yeah, you mentioned her 3 or 4 times in just a minute over the years.
Yeah, it's funny, that, isn't it?
Well, it gets a laugh, but I wondered if she did mean something.
No, it's just a funny name.
Just another transsexual friend of his.
That's what my other passport says.
Right. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is binge drinking. 60 seconds, starting now.
Is a close relative of Bing Crosby.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Well, it was a good luck. Give him a bonus point for his Bing Crosby joke. 47 seconds, Paul, on binge drinking, starting now.
Drinking binge is one of my favourite hobbies. I love it. I get round the back of the bins, round the hotels, and I start knocking it back. Binge drinking, of course, they say is very bad for you. You should know that when you've had one drink, you shouldn't follow it immediately up with another. If you look, perhaps, at an example of somebody out in the street, somebody you see... Oh, somebody...
Josie
Town.
Two somebodies.
Yes, well done, Josie. Listen well. 30 seconds available. You tell us something about binge drinking, starting now.
Do you know, I was watching the television the other night, and there was something on one of the channels. I probably can't say the title, but it was about these people that go out on a Friday and a Saturday and just drink, binge.
Jack Challenge.
Deviation.
What?
Because you were watching The Horse Whisperer.
I've not seen the show The Horse Whisperer. It's about somebody with a sore throat.
It's a brilliant film with Paul Redford.
Paul Redford?
No, Robert Redford.
I mean, Robert. They're both in it. I get Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
The Redford brothers are in it, aren't they?
Yeah. We're just... Sorry, I was getting confused there. Yeah, it's a great film, great film.
I sometimes wake up in the morning feeling a little hoarse. Being a transsexual, yes. Yeah. As my sponsor kindly points out.
Yeah, right. Who challenged you then?
I challenged Joseph.
Yes. Jack said I was watching The Horse Whisperer.
That's right. Well, Jack, we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed your interruption. But Josie gets the point because she was interrupted because it was an incorrect challenge. And she keeps talking about binge drinking if she can. The 18 seconds starting now.
These lads went into this club and ordered 20 shots of vodka each, downed them, went to another place and then got a bottle of white...
Jack challenged.
I think that was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, Jack, yes.
Only a
yes.
tiny one, and I can speak, you know, but, or rather I can't.
You try after... You try after 20 vodkas.
Yeah.
Right, 9 seconds are still available, Jack. Binge drinking starting now.
Binge drinking is the thing that the government have tried to clamp down on, just another way of spoiling all our fun. Because most of us, let's face it, rather enjoy drinking too much.
So, Jack D brought that show to an end, he brought it to end in great style, and he finished up in a magnificent fourth place, but he's... No, it's a contribution. It's not the point. He was only 2 points behind Josie Lawrence, who did a wonderful job. The two of them haven't played as much as the other two, yeah? And Clement Freud did incredibly well, and so did Paul Merton. And they finished... and they've both got the same number of points, so we say joint winners! For me to say thank you to these four fine, intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Josie Lawrence and Jack D. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank Claire Jones, our producer. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience at the Radio Theatre here, who've cheered us on our way with great style from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team here. Goodbye, and tune in the next time we play... Just a minute!